Zach, you ready?
Cell phones, finally turned mine off. iPads. No, I guess
you can.
You
can?
As long
as
it's
not
3G. Yes, you can.
All these vendors are doing
okay. I'm going to call to order. Meeting of the West Lafayette School Corporation regular meeting board of school trustees Wednesday, May 11th, 7:58 p.m. We're 2 minutes ahead of schedule. Doesn't mean we'll finish 2 minutes ahead of schedule. I have an approval of the agenda for them. It's the revised agenda for the May 11th, 2011 meeting, regular meeting of the board of school trustees.
Here's approval.
About Mrs. Rouse.
Second.
Bringer, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees, April 13, 2011. Moved by Mrs. Springer.
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Anderson. Additional discussion, hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Approval of meeting minutes of the Board of School Trustees, April 27th. Moved by Mrs. Springer.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bittner. Discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none. Communication from the audience. Thank you, Rocky. And a big blank slate. So we move on to unfinished business, of which I have none. New business, news of legislation. Rocky,
yes.
Have at it.
We are working through the new legislation that has just occurred. And Bob, I invited Bob and Kevin to be here just to basically just give a brief overview and what their advice might be as we move forward as we work through this new legislation.
Excuse me.
State legislature passed two new laws. One is Senate Bill 1 and the other bill is House Bill 575 that are dramatic, they are significant, and they change a school law, and there's even been comments that they're the most significant changes in the United States in some ways. And they have addressed multiple issues, and the one issue that they addressed was the issue of collective bargaining, and the state has changed what is subject to collective bargaining in Indiana between school corporations and the representative organizations, and the basic things that are subject to negotiation today under the new law are salary, wages, and benefits. No longer are hours subject to negotiation, nor are dismissal procedures, reduction in force, things of that nature. So that is a significant change, and it's a different way of doing business. Legislature was very careful in its legislation, or they tried to be very careful, to identify what you can do and what you can't do. Some of these laws go into effect July 1st, some of them go into effect 2011, some go into effect July 1st, 2012. Some of them went into effect the date the legislation was enacted. And in particular, the statute, and it's something that's of importance and will be a subject of discussion, I suspect, and has been. The new law says that a contract entered into between a school employer and an exclusive representative after this section has been enacted into law, which was, I think, April 21st, may not extend past the end of a state budget biennium. And that has been a subject of discussion with school board attorneys throughout the state. And most particularly, we had a lengthy conference with Dave Emmert and Julie Slavens, who are the attorneys for Indiana State School Board Association. And their opinion was that a contract that was entered into between April 20th and June 30th this year is only enforceable to June 30th. And we were initially in agreement with that, and we said, well, why do you believe that's the case? And they said, because the legislature was very upset with what happened in Anderson when they negotiated a 10-year contract. And they inserted that provision to prevent last-minute negotiations between school corporations and between collective bargaining organization. In addition to that, Dennis Day, or David Day, who is considered to be the premier education lawyer in the state of Indiana, has drawn the same conclusion. Now, the controversy is that we have one law firm in the state, Bose McKinney, that has rendered a contrary opinion. We're all scratching our head. And so I asked the question, well, how do you clarify this? If there's an ambiguity, and I don't think there's an ambiguity in the way the statute's written, I think it's pretty clear. The only way it would be clarified is to seek an opinion of the Attorney General. And we've been told that may be sought. And generally, those opinions take 4 to 6 weeks to be rendered. And it is May 10th, which means it's highly unlikely an opinion would be rendered before June 30th on this issue. And they're going to look at that, and frankly, the Attorney General's office would look to the opinions of attorneys that are specialized in this area. So I don't believe the school corporation, it's my opinion, our firm's opinion, the school corporation cannot enter into a contract between the period of April 21st and June 30th for fear that it would expire June 30th. There was quite a discussion about what the consequences could be if such a contract was entered into and there was an attempt to enforce it. The Department of Local Government Finance could intervene and say it's an illegal contract. Indiana State Board of Education could intervene and say it's an illegal contract. The Attorney General could intervene and sue the school corporation. And also, it could potentially open us up to a taxpayer suit on the fact that we were basically ignoring the new laws. I think the important thing is that the school corporation, this wasn't something that West Lafayette School Corporation advocated. This was something that was in the making. It was an initiation on the part of the state legislature. You have asked us to review the statutes, and we have, and those are the conclusions, you know, that we've drawn. There's a lot of other changes. They've changed the referral to permanent, non-permanent, semi-permanent teachers. They've changed all of that. Very confusing. They've thrown the how you compensate teachers up for grabs. And it's going to take a year or so to work through all of that. The state's going to have a salary schedule. School corporation's going to have a salary schedule, but they have, there's different criteria. There has been a real emphasis in this law on the role of discussion between administration and between teachers and also committees. The legislature spent a lot of time addressing this issue, and I think you can look to that and say their reasoning was that some of the matters that used to be a part of collective bargaining are now going to be subject of discussion. In fact, they're mandated to be part of discussion. You have to discuss hours. And they talk about how committees are selected. So what my opinion would be, the legislature has shifted what I would call management issues out of collective bargaining and thrown them into discussion and into committees and then a final decision on the part of the board. So I think that's a change in direction. There are some things in this legislation that I think could get cleaned up in 2012. There's some inconsistencies that just don't make sense. especially with the new categories of probationary and professional, and I mean, that makes some of it just doesn't make sense. And I'm sure the legislators will be brought to their attention, and they will probably address those issues next year. I think that's a pretty fair summary. Any questions? Anybody?
On that cleanup front, do you feel like it's major cleanup? I mean, it's just hard to know at this point. Or how do you view that?
Well, cleanup happens when there's uncertainty. And there's some real uncertainty about this probationary status versus semi-permanent. What is the purpose of that? And these new categories. And actually, they failed to amend all the statutes properly. They've got to get that done. The cleanup would be procedural in nature. It would not be substantive. Because basically what they've done, they've said, State Board of Education, you set up a salary schedule. State Board of Education, you set up an evaluation process. And oh, by the way, School Corporation, if you want to set up your own, you can do that. They've given school corporations the right to do their own evaluation process. They've given school corporations the right to go ahead and set up their own salary criteria. They've said that you have to meet the state standards. You cannot no longer use it all based on seniority and education. You've got to take that can only be one third. And it looks like what they're saying is, if a school corporation, you want to pursue those issues, then have your discussions, have your committee meetings, come up with a fact finding, and then, you know, draw your own conclusions at that time.
Thank you. Other questions? This is really for information only, obviously, but any other questions for...
I thank Bob and Kevin for all the work that they put into helping us maneuver through it and try to figure all of it out. I'm sure there's a lot more to digest and plow through before this is all over with.
Okay, very good.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to number two, item two, academic achievement, student technology, instructional commons bid recommendation. Dr. Killian.
Yes, we are moving forward with this process. We had bid openings, and the lowest, most responsible bidder was MathCon. The base bid was $159,900, with the concession remodel of $24,500 as an alternate bid. The total comes to $184,400. However, that probably will be reduced a little bit, because in the fact finding of all of this, we found that the standalone lockers may not be usable. And so if MathCon does not have to refurbish those lockers and remove them, reutilize them, there will be a deduct from that, and we would have to look at getting additional new lockers, and that cost is about $31,000. And so that would be something that we, of course, would have to deal with as we move forward with it. Currently, we have almost $100,000, or right at $100,000 raised. Mr. Schreiner just sent me some good news last night, indicating that we received another approximately $5,000 in donations from various groups. And Sally and the Education Fundraising Committee has identified 60 to 70 donors to start knocking on doors to go after the funding. And then the small committee of representatives are working together for a joint resolution with regards to this. So I think the committee has confirmed that they're interested in being very aggressive to finish this and to help us with this project. And so I think that this is within our capability. And so I would definitely recommend that we move forward with this project and accept the lowest bidder, and move forward with starting the campaign so that we can move this forward.
So moved. Moved by Mr. Gittner, second by Mr. Marley. Discussion.
So the plan is to begin
construction as soon as school's out, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
5 minutes after. Bell rings.
Maybe 10 minutes.
Bring in the hard hats.
Maybe 10 minutes.
And finish it basically by August,
yes.
Hopefully.
We'd like to have a ribbon cutting ceremony, gentlemen, probably August 10th in that time frame. Jovan, Kelly?
Yeah, I think it was the 15th or something, somewhere right.
Okay.
And since this is all just an internal remodel, no surprises, no weather, there shouldn't be any issue with making that timeline.
We don't think so, and part of that con...
Oh. Come on, Bob. Look at that.
Part of MatCon's bid, too, has what was the contingency
amount? Oh, yeah,
amount?
Contingency.
Oh, $500 a day. Or yeah, liquidated damages. I'm sorry. Liquidated damages at $500 a day if they're not done by August the.
Will be on the 14th.
What's the...
When does
Dan's looking a little worried.
Yeah, I think if school starts on the 17th. I think it was the 14th. But anyway, there's a $500 a day penalty to them if they don't...
Liquidated damages don't finish.
Yeah.
And then they also had, for unforeseen factors,
right.
There was an amount that they had within their bid, and that was...
$20,000 for the... And then another $5,000 for the concession, so $25,000. So if there's something comes up, you've got a contingency of $25,000 that hopefully you cover anything that might.
And I think also the athletic boosters, correct me if I'm wrong, Ron or Dan or Lefty or Larry, they're going to be giving $10,000
yes.
towards this as well. So
Kathy, kind of an answer to your question, right now the biggest hold up to the thing is the new lockers. The standalone lockers, there are 153 standalone lockers that we can reuse, we repainted, mm-hmm. And then but the new ones we have to order. Randy Simpson, who is going to be doing this, said that right now they normally say 6 to 8 weeks, but he says this time of year you can figure 8 weeks. That should still, I'm going to call him first thing in the morning.
Awesome.
And he'll place the order. So you figure 8 weeks. That's mid-July, and he said it was about a 3 to 4 day process to install. And they will have the 153 that we're going to continue to use that we currently have, basically those that are along the walls, mm-hmm. like right under the window where Donna sits there in the junior house. Those can be reused. The ones that can't be reused are the ones out the middle that are back-to-back.
Yeah.
And why can't they be reused?
Because they don't have a back. They have a single back for two sets of lockers. So they're going to R&S lockers is going to take those for salvage, and that brings the price down to $31,000 that we had. Initially, when he talked to us, it was up around $37,000. And then we had... this is Renetta Schreiner this afternoon made a decision that will get us another $625 under what he said, because we can get along with five fewer lockers. I think the new ones are $125
a piece. Plus, aren't we using some of the locks of the old?
We'll be using all of the old locks, because what we purchased is a book that has 6 years of combinations. So we can take the unit out and put it in the new lockers and continue to use our book. And it's nice because locker number 375, it doesn't matter which locker you put it in, it still is locker 375 and it still has those six combinations of it. And that way, until or unless we have somebody on a 7-year plan, any 6 years that you're in the building, that locker will never have the same combination while you're there. So unless you're really bored and at Purdue and want to come back in and find your old locker, and for years I always tried 10-19-2 because that was my 7th grade locker combination. It never worked.
And we've researched salvaging and putting backs on the ones we're going to scrap.
Yes, Randy said it's more expensive to do that and get the new lockers. Given the fact that we're able to reuse the combination within the box. It's the guts of the combination.
And do we have a contingency plan? Heaven forbid we don't raise the balance of the donated money.
Well, we have a construction fund that all of this would come out of, and then as they raise the money, they will replenish that construction fund out of CPF.
Okay, so yep. we have money to pay for this. It would just be nice if
right.
we could raise it.
It's going to come out of our CPF branch balance.
Good on that. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Additional questions? Anyone? Thank you, Mr. Troyer.
I'd like to thank Kelly and Jovan yeah. for their assistance working hard on this. They've put a lot of time and effort and have really made this process very smoothly. So, Kelly and Jovan, thank you very much for working with us on that.
Thank you. Okay. If you have a motion on the table, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, the motion carries. Yep. Revised textbook adoption list, Exhibit D, Dr. Curry.
Seeing that we had two missing amounts, we did get those information, so as I promised, we bring those back to you for final authorization, and the prices on the other books have not changed.
That's good.
Yeah, they're still the same. So I'm asking for reauthorization to move forward with the textbook adoption and the amounts listed.
Move approval.
Approved by Mrs. Rouse.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Additional discussion? Questions? We have seen this before. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, hearing none. Motion carries. Thank you. Reading and behavior plans, Dr. Killian.
As we have been discussing for quite some time, the DOE is requiring school districts to have a reading plan in place and a behavior plan in place. After putting all this time and effort into this, we have found that what the DOE plans to do is to create an online access site, and you just type in, fill in some information with drop-down stuff. It's not actually a submitted document. So what is before you is something that we have collaborated with our teachers, especially at the elementary level, with administration. We have brought this to discussion several times, and these are practices that we currently utilize, and with the exception of the 90-minute block of reading that we have to do, this will be something that we would have input within that drop-down menu so that by June 30th, 2011, we meet the standard or the requirement that the DOE has placed upon us to have this in place. This is based upon the DIBELS and also reading recovery components. And so we think this is a good first step towards meeting this requirement. And so this is at your place for your consideration. So if approved, we can move forward with putting this within the DOE website.
Motion, please.
Second.
Mrs. Rouse.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Anderson. Discussion, please. Question regarding the 90 minutes block of reading time. Is this 90 minutes a day, 90 minutes a week?
90 minutes a day.
And you got my corrections and a couple of typos on it the other night.
Yeah. Being that we don't have to submit the document, yeah. we'll make sure.
Yeah. Anything else on any other additional discussion questions?
Yeah. And part of this will be as we start working on the writing part of it. This will coincide with what we're doing with strategic plan as we do curriculum mapping. Some of these components just fit right into our strategic plan. took some time to put together, but I think it's a good start.
Brian, another 90-minute point. This has always been a topic of discussion, just on how you do that.
Yes.
But, okay, any additional discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none. Motion carries. 2012-13 school calendar, Dr. Killian.
Behavioral plan.
I'm sorry, let's talk about the behavior plan.
Sure. We have to do the same for a behavior plan, and meeting with our high school administration specifically, and a special thanks to Dan for his help and Ron on this. We have put this together, which again will be an on-site pull-down menu for the DOE, and it's basically what we're currently doing at this point. And this has to be in place by June 30th, 2011 as well. So we're asking for your consideration of this so that we can move forward with it.
Need a motion to accept the behavior plan?
Second
by Mrs. Roush. Discussion. And my question, the strategies at the end really do correspond with, you know, how do we arrive at the three-year plan, or what's the rationale behind it?
Well, the rationale.
What was first and foremost?
Yeah. The rationale is considering what are our current practices, what are we doing, and then what we wanted to do was to try to assimilate, can we accomplish this the first year, accomplish this the second year, can we accomplish this the third year? And it's really based upon current things that we're doing, which we're easily accomplishing.
We've accomplished things we can accomplish.
Yeah. It's kind of those SMART goals thing.
Yeah.
Yep. They're realistic, they're timely, measurable.
Okay. You have any additional discussion? Questions? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none. Motion carries on the behavior plan now to the 2012-13 school calendar. And just a few weeks to discuss further about it, Killian.
Right. This is coming to you now because with a variety of issues with regards to collective bargaining, we feel we can move forward with this. Regardless of what happens with negotiations. This is something that we have collaborated on. We have a calendar committee. We took this through the staff, and this is probably, I'd say, the fifth or sixth version of it, because we tried a variety of things, and Karen had some very good points and questions. Typically, we have an 87 and a 93 split on first semester, second semester days, which has worked very well for us because of ISTA. This one, we tried to do a variety of things to have that split like that again, but with either having the staff come back earlier in January, or would have us starting earlier in August, or we would have to give up some of the internal snow makeup days that we have built in second semester. So we decided that what was best at this point, being Memorial Day keeps getting earlier, is to start August 14th and then have school resume the 7th with students returning on January 7, 2013. Have the records day at the end of first semester, more of you're a professional, get it done, let us know that you did it, and maintain our three snow makeup days throughout the semester. And then what we did to have last discussion, originally we had snow makeup days 2 and 3, Friday, March 29th, and then Monday, April 1st. And many people thought that having those days that close removed from spring break would be a little too much. So we moved the snow makeup day to Friday, April 19th. And made that number 2, and then the snow makeup day number 3 is March 29th. It seems a little out of order, but the idea was to make March 29th the last one you would have to go to make up.
Last resort.
Yes, the last resort.
need a motion for approval of the school calendar.
With the fourth one, the Tuesday after Memorial Day being the ultimate last resort.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Move approval.
Moved by Mrs. Anderson.
Second
by Marley. Yeah, I mean, having city discussion, I know that this did get that was more than one of the moves Karen made on that as well, but there's that was the impetus behind that. So that was good.
When Purdue's spring break?
Same week.
Yeah, that's one of the things I always look up is when spring break is, and it starts the 11th, March 11th, and goes that week.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none. Motion carries. Wonderful Weekdays After School Child Care Program Proposal Agreement and Addendum.
Yes, we actually have two handouts there for you. This is exactly what we approved last time. And try to explain a little bit further, which isn't really clear, but the addendum of the additional $125 per day are additional charges for the summer program, and that also includes transportation costs. But this is exactly what we had last year, and we're just bringing it forward because by Indiana code, we have to have a latchkey program for kids, and the Wonderful Weekdays helps us with that.
Is it today?
Or whatever it is.
It says
per month.
$125.
Yeah.
What did I say per day? I thought that might have been pretty nice.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I got too many. Got too many numbers going through my head.
So we need to move approval.
Yeah, $125.
Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Rouse. Additional questions, discussion? How long have you been doing the Wonderful Weekdays for?
Long time.
Since I've been here. I know before that?
Yes.
1982. Yeah, I think so. And they do a great job for us. They really do. They work hard. We keep moving them around here and there when we have construction projects and other things.
Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, hearing none. Motion carried. Biennium school funding formula. Go from something nice like Wonderful Weekdays to the funding formula.
I just want to keep this in the forefront because Ross and I are, of course, very worried about this. This is more than doubled what the DeBoer-Humble study had used within their referendum study of our finances, because when we did the referendum in 2000, or the study in 2009, the maximum we were supposed to go down per student was $150. Well, that has been removed for one reason or another. Now we're looking at $368 less per child. And if you actually look on the funding formula, which I still don't comprehend, they're projecting us to go up in student enrollment by 2% each year, but yet we're still seeing a reduction of the first year of about $368 per student, and then the next year an additional cut. So over the course of time, this is really going to impact us moving forward. We're of course fortunate and humbled to have the referendum support, and that's the reason why we did what we did, because we knew this was going to happen. We just didn't realize it would be at this pace this quick. So I just want to keep this in the forefront and keep this a matter of conversation, because this to me is something that we're going to have to rectify with other measures moving forward down the road. And so we got to start preparing today in order to deal with this 3 and 4 years from now, what kind of an impact this is going to have upon us.
Questions?
Can you check with the DOE that these numbers are accurate, you haven't made a mistake?
Yes, I've been with on the phone with Ron Halting on the state Senate floor as they were working through this. They originally had the referendum levy rate and amount listed inappropriately, and had not had the right calculations. That's why you see here it says estimated referendum rate. They fixed this for us, And I asked several times why we're seeing an increase in student enrollment, but yet we're seeing a decrease in funding, and it comes down to the complexity index. We're 286 out of 293. And they have removed some things out of the funding formula, the DeGoster and other things that I think is drawing more money away from schools. And I tend to believe, and I don't have any data to support this, but I would like to study it if I get the time. I tend to believe that the smaller school districts are getting more reductions and the larger school districts are getting more money. And to me, it would make sense that if you're serving more kids, you should get more money. And if you're not serving more kids, you should get less money. So we're serving, over the last 3 years, we've grown by over 160 students without any new additional dollars. Here, we're seeing another growth, and we're not getting any new money.
Based on that, though, have you seen the funds for the charter schools? Because they're getting about $2,000 more per student per year.
Right.
And that's charter schools within Tippecanoe County.
You mean more over last year, you mean, or more over us?
More over us. $2,000 per student.
Yeah. Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And what really is irritating the people in the charter schools and the private schools do not have to hear to the new legislation that Bob and Kevin just spoke to.
Right.
We have to hold to those requirements, but those school districts, those schools, private schools, charter schools do not have to.
Any additional questions?
If you have any suggestions, let Ross or me know.
It's prime time.
Yeah.
Prime time is a grant to reduce class size for Title I schools in kindergarten, first and second grade.
Yeah. And that's phased out.
Prime time, the original formula runs, what, a month or so ago, did not decrease prime time, but now they've cut it down to about...
Yeah, just
about half. Yeah, I mean, that was one big change
phased
too.
We've seen
when they kept running these formulas.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's going to be phased out over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what's new virtual calculation? So that stands for at the top there. Tech on school updates, tech honors, new virtual calc. Can I get it? It's at the very, it's in that paragraph at the top where it describes all the.
I don't know if that's talking about the honors diploma money, Rocky. Do you know? You know, it says tech honors, that last sentence there, that they're phasing out over 2 years of tech honors.
I guarantee phased out over 2 years with school updates, tech honors, new virtual calculation.
Yeah. I wonder if they're talking about school districts that are offering online courses. And you get some credit for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those I'll try to find
schools.
That out.
The virtual school thing.
Yeah.
I think so. Yes.
Okay. That's information only. Proposed energy contract. Is I one and I two?
Dan Schuster has been working for us again, and he's offering his Pro Alliance buy to help us buy at the lowest price possible, hedging our natural gas. And, we recommend moving forward with Dan's recommendation.
Question?
Second.
Discussion. Besides just an attitude of gratitude towards Mr. Schuster and his work. All in favor of this proposed energy contract, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, the motion carries.
Asking why he can't get a 3-4.
Glass joint services agreement. This is something new to the personnel. What's that? I guess we can go to personnel. No. We do have a glass joint services agreement.
That's right.
That's
what we get for playing with the right thing.
Yeah.
And this is something that would be at your place.
Yeah, I looked for that. What's in the place? Oh, that's what that is? Oh, that's part of
this. This is what we do every year. Brian and I met with the Glass Advisory Board today. And this is a joint agreement with TSC, LSD, and Lafayette for psychological ed services. And TSC and Lafayette respectfully pay 45% each towards the Glass services, and we pay 10%. And of course, as federal funding goes down, our funding goes up with regards to that 10%. But this is a very valid service for us because of the kids that we serve in our school district that need special ed services.
Motion.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Anderson. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Information to the board. Just a couple of things. ISBA reminder for next Monday at Trails. And I think Helen's heard from everyone can attend there, so we're in good shape. We will also have a couple of important committee meetings next week, obviously, with everyone's aware of negotiation discussion. The board retreat is a reminder for everyone's calendar, 23rd of June. We'll have an agenda to you hopefully by the first of the month. Trying to think about other dates. I think that's basically anything else from anybody else on terms of dates. So, okay, personnel report. Let's go move to Dr. Killian.
Recommend all two names listed to be approved.
For sure.
A short personnel report. So moved. Moved by Mr. Dinger.
Second.
Mr. Roush. Lengthy discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Accounts payable vouchers.
I have no additional comments. Our normal two payrolls and our claims of $1,058,000 plus the Wabash Valley claims of about
$87,000. Okay. Yeah. Motion to approve our accounts payable voucher. Second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion, questions? All in favor of paying our bills and accounts payable voucher, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I hear none. The motion carries. Board and superintendent reports go around the room. Well, you're in then.
I don't have any redevelopment next Tuesday
morning. Good. The community council on Monday. I'm attended by the four of us. The last one until September. Had a nice report back from parent council. Come on. Tonight their open forum on their new drop-off and safety. It's tonight.
Yeah,
it's tonight. So they have a safety initiative. They're trying to change their drop-off again policy over there. So they're putting together an informational video, which I think is kind of a really good idea at that age and that population. That they thought that was the best way to educate people as to why and wherefores of how this and drop-offs can work. There was some discussion about radios and buzzer system for the door that I still don't quite understand. I talked to Sally about it. She and I are kind of thinking of what exactly the plan is with that. Anyway, I think the nurses are going to have to open the door a lot. It's what I heard. Anyway, we'll see how that works out.
We're
going to
get thumbprint technology.
Yeah. It sounds like things are going well, and they have a new collaborative agreement, but participation from Purdue students for the Family Math Night in October that Sarah Wasserman told us about. She was the person who gave the report. She's the volunteer chair. Things are happening at Cumberland, and I'll tell you, it's amazing. Every time I go to this, I'm just shocked at how active that parent group is over
there. Yeah.
It is amazing. It was good. That's about it.
Thank you. Mr. Marley, anything on your end there?
Love to talk.
I love his committee.
That's in your packet, Greg.
From the Tipping Canoe School Foundation. A flyer, a couple flyers sticking together during their major fundraiser event. That's Saturday the 14th, starting at 2 p.m. at Jeff High School.
I got Jeff. I don't have that.
And School Foundation. Yeah, I don't know that I have it either.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So please, if you can, participate or attend the event. Obviously, the Tip News Foundation would greatly appreciate any support that we can provide from our side of the river and also from our board. So please attend that, please do. And Rocky mentioned we met with the Glass board today, and they signed a joint service. Well, we'll sign this joint service agreement tonight. And it's a great program for some of our children that may be challenged in different ways. So very happy to sit on that board and learn more about it today, since it was my first meeting that we meet once a year. So very, very appreciative of the work that group does. The West Lafayette Foundation, we are meeting this Thursday. We have a standing Tuesday meeting. I sit on the committee for fundraising for SHTC, and Sally Merrill leading the group. Our last meeting was Tuesday, and we were generating names of potential supporters of donors, and we came up with about 50 names that we'll start making contacts to, and they've actually done a very good job of naming some of the pillars and opportunities for people to be part of the building on an ongoing basis with their names attached to different areas of the
pillars of knowledge or
pillars
something.
Of knowledge.
The Miller pillar.
Yeah. The Miller pillar. The Brad Cohen pillar. We can go
and the seating is like some other
really neat little phrases.
I thought that was super creative.
And Patrick Nice is helping us with the marketing and the brochures related to that. I think we're at a pretty good start of fundraising and support and dollars to help us grow for this program.
Cool. Park Board. Community Bay down at the Riverfront Rowing Facility is open from the public. Public use and rental fees for watercraft storage have been set. University Farm Park is slated for upgrading and replacement of some equipment this summer. And then the Sagamore West Farmers Market is open every Wednesday, 3 to 6:30 p.m. at Cumberland on Salisbury. Neighborhood representatives had a meeting in April. The beautification committee has selected orange for the flower color this summer. And there was a presentation about senior housing assistance for renovations, senior citizens and income criteria and so forth. So that was interesting. And the plan for that neighborhood group is to meet about 3 times a year.
Anything else?
No.
Discussion, as in last time, I think one of the major topics was the calendar. We spent probably as much time on that as anything. I'm trying to think of what else now, if I even bring my notes with me.
The reading plan, behavior plan.
All the many things that we went through today. It was actually just good. Good meeting, but nothing really all that earth-shattering coming out of it from that standpoint. That to me. Communication from the audience, non-agenda items, your last chance. Larry, if you look down, you got to talk.
Yeah. That's
what my agenda
is.
Well, I have a little public service announcement. If anybody has any groups that are looking for entertainment, the Boys A Cappella, newly formed organization, is now accepting invitations for volunteer performances. Priority Mail will be glad to assist you at your events for free.
Priority Mail, huh?
They just sang at Westminster on Monday night, and were amazing accolades according to the people I talked to, and they got free ice cream.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's my kind of reward.
Big band concert too this
Saturday.
Oh yeah,
choir's on Sunday at 7.
Choir's on Sunday.
Isn't it nice they moved all that from Mother's Day? Remember you spelling something?
And future meetings, we already talked about the trails. Work session Wednesday, May 25th, 6:30. Next board meeting on the 8th of June, and of course the retreat on the 23rd.
And don't forget graduation.
Graduation, and we have, if you can attend, make sure you get your intentions to Helen and go from there. So, and that will be on Saturday, May the 28th at 7 p.m. But we should be there before
meet in the main room.
And there may be also a foundation event in advance of that, but we'll wait to hear on that as well. Excuse me, the motion for adjournment.
Seconded.
Mrs. Roush. Seconded by Mrs. Springer. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Captain.
Opposed? None. I think we're done for all.